Welcome to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. I am your host, not Nick Kyprios, but Justin Bourne. Hello, Sammy.
Hey, man.
How are you?
Feeling very far from my little desk over there.
I know, but no, it's lovely to have you.
I'm really happy to be here. I got my papers spread everywhere, which I don't really have the ability to do over there. I'm ready to rock.
Nice.
How are you feeling?
I'm good. I'm a little weird being in Kipper's spot here today.
Yeah.
He won't be here for the rest of this week.
Yep.
You and I are here. Welcome to our NHL Hour.
I'm thrilled.
Welcome to our NHL Hour, live on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. As always, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. Going to be joined by Kristen Shilton of ESPN a little bit, which I'm looking forward to. Got some news and notes. We will take your text at 590-590.
Breaking down what the biggest story of the day is nationally, Bobby McMahon signing a two-year contract extension.
Yes, we know. People in Vancouver are dying to hear about man.
They're all on the seawall just screaming it out to everybody, being like, you know, Bobby, that guy can play. We love the Leafs. Anyways.
Yeah, so we probably won't talk about that so much. But we will talk about all the other things that are going on in the league. I have an article up today on the playoff races in the Eastern Conference. And kind of handicapping how those shake out. I think it's live on sportsnet.ca right now. I'll do the Western Conference for Friday. Looking at a little bit today, Florida Panthers get a big win last night, separate themselves a little bit from the Bruins.
Yeah, I watched that whole game last night. It was an excellent hockey game.
Yeah,
you know,
two good teams.
Chris Tanev made a few mistakes in that game, took a bad trip late that cost him the game.
You know, if you look at it, like, that was their only ad. Yeah. And if he's not great.
No, like, I haven't watched a lot of Stars, but I watched that full game last night. And I'm like, oh, maybe some of my takes weren't as great as I thought they were at the time. But no, he's just getting used to a new spot, so it won't kill him too much. But I don't quite know what makes, like, I know the Panthers have great players, and they weren't even, the thing that scared me the most about last night watching that game for the rest of the NHL, is they weren't even that mean last night.
Yeah.
Like they weren't acting like they usually do. Like, I watch most Panthers games, and it's like, wow, they're playing the whole game offended, and they're in the scrap, and they make these teams back down from them.
Yeah.
You know, the Stars are a pretty big team. They got a lot of good players, fast players. Their decor is pretty big. They had a guy like Tanev. And to me, it's just they didn't get into that at all, and they just played great hockey. They got three power play goals. Their power play is terrifying.
Yeah.
That, to me, is what really should scare the rest of the Eastern Conference and probably the Western Conference if we're really going to handicap this thing, is that they can really beat you in any possible way.
Yeah.
Like, street
fight. In Dallas, they were down 3-0, and they won in regulation.
They don't quit at all. They're still in the game. They get great goals. They got different guys contributing on different lines. Like, you know, that Barkov looks unbelievable. Kachuk filters one from the point. Like, I don't want to. You know, you look at who the favorites are, and I'm sure we'll do that in game time later this hour. Mm-hmm. But to me, people saying they're frauds, and maybe they could lose in the first round. Maybe because it's hockey and weird stuff happens, but I really don't see a team that has the recipe to beat them when they're on.
No, the Atlantic Division, the power plays, so Tampa is first in the NHL, 29.2.
First, eh, still.
Yeah.
That's keeping them alive.
Toronto and Florida are tied at second, 27.2. I know how you feel. It's different.
It is so different, but I don't watch them every night, right? So it's like I'm watching the Leafs power play every night where they have their frustrating nights, but then they go in stretches where they're snapping it around.
Yeah.
With the Panthers, I don't know. It seems like in their sweet spot, terrified of that team, Borny.
I do think, too, you know, they're not pulling away from the league, winning the President's Trophy, you know, by miles.
No.
You know,
they still have stuff to play for. They're not going to, like, have that checkout mode. Anyways, look at the Kristen.
Yes. We are now joined by Kristen Shilton, NHL reporter for ESPN. We are so excited to have you back on. Kristen, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, guys. How are you?
We're doing good. We're just talking a little bit about the Florida Panthers and trying to figure out, you know, basically, if anyone else in the East can contend, can anyone else hang? How do you handicap the top of the Eastern Conference? Do you see anyone else even in a class with the Florida Panthers?
I mean, it's tough. You can talk about the New York Rangers. I think that they have definitely gotten even stronger lately, went through a bit of a dip there, but you're really seeing them play some great hockey. I think that's probably connected to Igor Shesterkin really finding his game. Again, he's been sensational after a bit of a mediocre, by his standards, start. And that's really been a game changer, I think, for the Rangers. And, you know, Boston's been a bit up and down. They haven't been as consistent maybe as they were at the start of the year, but they're still going to be a contender right there. And I just think the Atlantic has so many deep teams. And Florida, though, they just continue to separate themselves from the pack. But as you say, not by leaps and bounds. It's not a situation like last year with Boston where you felt like maybe they took their foot off the gas. They took things for granted a little bit down the stretch. And I don't think that the Panthers are going to do the same. And I felt that when I went on a preseason visit down to Sunrise and I spent some time with the Panthers and talking to Paul Maurice and Matt Tkachuk and Alexander Barkov and those guys, they felt like they had something special. And I don't think that they would take any of this for granted. So I really like them. I like, you know, I like what the Rangers are doing right now. But there's a lot of teams, Toronto among them, that you could really see being strong contenders in the postseason too.
So I mentioned, I don't know how long you were listening for there, Kristen, but I mentioned that the thing that stands out to me, and I watched that game last night, is just the separate ways they can beat you. Like, because most of these games, you watch Florida Panther games, and they are just playing the entire game offended. As I like to say, they're just so mad the entire time. Every little thing sets them off. And last night, they didn't even do that. They were just, it was a solid, I guess if they're having to come from behind, it's a little bit different. But they just can beat you in any kind of way. And to me, that's what terrifies you going into the playoff series with them. Any way they want it, they can play.
Yeah, I would absolutely characterize them the same way. And just that when you have that capability, when you're not a one-trick pony, when you don't need to score 6 goals every night or hold an opponent to a certain number of goals, or you have to be great on special teams, or this one player has to be fantastic, or the rest of the team can't go. They just don't have that. They are multifaceted. There's so many layers to what they can do, and they can turn it on at any time. You might see them maybe have a sleepier first period, but then in the second, you really can see the way that they'll have, you know, whether it's Sam Reinhart, who's having such a fantastic year, whether it's Bobrovsky in net, whether it's you're getting, you know, that Gustav Forsling 8-year extension, so underrated. Mm. He's just a guy, like, he was a waiver wire guy.
Crazy.
And you bring him in, and he's just become a linchpin on that back end for them. And, you know, they can just do so many things so well, and they'll hurt you in so many different ways that how do you prepare for
an opponent? Yeah, with flying elbows, they'll hurt you.
Especially if it's a playoff series, right? Yeah. Like, if you know you're playing Florida in the first round, it's like, well, what are they going to do in game one versus what are they going to do in game two? They just adjust so well that I think they're going to be a handful for whomever ends up on the opposite side of the ice for them.
For sure. Well, that's Sammy's Leafs fan anxiety, Florida Panthers talk. We've got that off our chest.
I hate to admit how much I love watching them play.
Yeah.
They're just an excellent hockey team. They're just great goaltending, excellent forwards. Their defense is clearly stacked. I like to watch them.
I know.
That's the part that kills me.
Well, good news.
Me.
You're going to get to watch them a lot of rounds if I had to guess.
That's great.
You know, having someone like yourself on, you're covering hockey in the U.S., one of the hot topics these days is expansion. You know, like we've heard Utah talk and most recently Atlanta. You know, how viable, how quick is Atlanta going to happen now? It just feels like the NHL just did expansion and here we are again, ready to add more teams.
Well, I think that there's just such an appetite for more, you know, and you talk to players about it, and I've had a lot of conversations with several guys in just the last little while about, would you want a team in Utah? Would you want that to be the next spot? And some of them are sort of wary of, you know, not diluting the product, but you don't want to do too much too fast. You want these fan bases to be able to get established. You want there to be, you know, a foundation of success there wherever the league goes next, because that benefits every player, you know, playing right now, as well as, you know, the next wave too. So I think that it's an intrigue. They're curious about what it could look like. Atlanta obviously is a market that they've been in before, came out of it. And then you look at a place like Utah, it's somewhere new. It's somewhere maybe has a bit of that more Vegas-y type of, you know, just there's just something about it that I think people are curious if a team could succeed there, if the NHL could get a grounded, established fan base the way that teams in Vegas and Seattle have. But, you know, you sort of saw it in how the NHL responded to Anson Carter's, his push for the Atlanta, Redux. You can see that they're like, well, it's always good to know that there's interest. Like, we're happy about that. But who's cutting the multi-billion-dollar check? That's the other thing, right? Is that how you don't, it's the same with diluting the product. How many investors are you going to have? How many people are you going to have to answer to if you're the NHL? You know, there's questions behind it from a business perspective that you do need to look at. But I think from a player's mind, the more the better in a lot of cases, if it can be successful, if there's a really sound business structure there. But that's where you have to be careful. You don't want to do too much too soon because you don't want to see teams fail. That would just be the absolute worst case scenario for the league and for the players.
Well, I know Sportsnet pays really well, Borny, but I'm not sure they can cut Anson's check to
$1 billion. Multi-billion.
But to me, with these expansion teams, Chris, and it's so important, like the early success stuff. And you know what happened with Vegas, where nobody knew what the hell they were doing with that expansion draft, and they just got handed an incredible team with all these assets that they've turned into this long tradition, what, 7-8 years of just winning. And to me, that if you're going to go to Atlanta, they're going to have to kind of not rig the expansion draft again, but make it really favorable so that they can be competitive right away. Because were the Thrashers ever good?
That's a great question.
I don't really remember them ever being very good. And they always just kind of had these weird teams. I remember the drafting high, like early. I know it's an obvious thing to say, but having the early success with these expansion teams, especially in the non-traditional markets, like Seattle's more of a sports town.
For sure.
Than, I guess, you know, Vegas had never had a professional one. But you need a good, decent team for these non-traditional markets to get behind. It's got to be early success.
Well, it does. And you've also just offended all of the Atlanta Thrashers lifers that will never give up on their team coming back.
Yeah, their Twitter accounts.
Excellent call out of the word there. Yeah. Prepare for them to find you. But no, it's the early success. And it's also, you look at the different ways that Vegas and Seattle approached building their franchise. I mean, Vegas was just, they knew there's so much competition for them, not just from a sports perspective in Vegas, but like everything else that you can do when you're there, right? Like it's not... it's a market where if you're not willing to put yourself out there, if you're not willing to really push, and obviously the Golden Knights have their detractors for their creative salary cap
creative
gymnastics. They really seem to find a way. Yeah.
That's a creative way to say that.
It's, you know, I'm being judicious, but it's true. I mean, the rules are the rules. And if you stay within them, it's just that there's teams. Then you look at the way Seattle did it. They were very methodical through the draft. They wanted to sort of squirrel those picks, and they weren't great in their first year. And then they were better last year. But then now this year's been, it's just, they haven't pushed as hard as the Golden Knights have to be as competitive as you need to be to compete for a Stanley Cup within the first, you know, what, 6-7 years, twice of your, but that's Vegas. It's just, they're so unique because they're so willing to push the envelope, and they have, by committee been very good from the drop. So that's good for them. But I think we just saw with Seattle, it's not the only way to go, but obviously the Kraken haven't had nearly the success that the Golden Knights have so far.
Yeah. Kristen, I wanted to ask you a question. You know, having covered hockey in Canada and now being in the U.S. and covering hockey, to just kind of get your take on the difference in the way the game is consumed. I myself lived in the U.S. for a long time, and I know, ESPN can be a star-making machine sometimes, you know, and Connor Bedard is a guy who is probably receiving a lot of that benefit now. Tonight we have Ovi up against Connor McDavid. Do you see a difference in the way the game is presented to the country and consumed by fans?
I don't know so much how it's presented. I think that just the stars and the teams that are highlighted are just very different.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, in Canada, it's, we talk so much about the Leafs and, you know, especially the Canucks this year and how good they are. We talk about the Oilers, and there's always a constant conversation about like, well, these Canadian teams, it's so, so important for the league that they be good. And that, you know, that's not really necessarily the same narrative that you're going to have in the U.S. I mean, it's New York, it's Boston, it's stars like Bedard. There's a reason why he's so popular already. It's just he's playing for the Chicago Blackhawks, and everybody wants the Chicago Blackhawks to be good again. Because I lived in Chicago during, you know, some of those dynasty years, and I've never seen anything like it. Yeah. And I've been fortunate to cover, several other championship teams. And no disrespect to anybody else, but oh my goodness, the way that they just love hockey there. And it's star driven, right? They want their next Kane, they want their next Taves. And that's really, I think, what drives as well. You know, you look at the way that the game is presented is, I think it's a lot less about the team and the history as much as it's about the stars and what they're doing now and the success and the next wave and the next generation. And there's no right or wrong way to do it. It's just, I think in Canada, we love to talk about legacy and we love to talk about rivalries and, yeah. You know, rivalries have been going on for a century. And it's more about the new in the, I think in the American market, it's more about this is what's great now. This is what's trending now. And I think that's why the Vegas Golden Knights have been so embraced by that fan base, not just because Vegas is a great, you know, sports town as we're seeing in a lot of ways, but just because they're so new and they find new ways to, I think, appeal to their fan base. And that's something where they don't feel stale, yeah. You know, and granted, they're not even a decade old, but still, they make a point of really trying to engage in different ways. And that's where some of, I think, the US-based teams do separate a little bit from the Canadian ones. And it's what I think fans really appreciate and what drives a lot of that fandom.
So you mentioned Connor Bedard in your question there. I know he's dash 36. He's on the first page of the Masters leaderboard
you're
here.
You're a good player and a bad team. What chance do you have?
I find it incredibly impressive that he's at a point per game. Like he's at 50, night. He had 5 points last night. He's at 51 points in 52 games. It's been a bit of an uneven uneven rookie year, clearly because of the injury that he had after he got nailed. But this is, I think, going as well as you could imagine if you're the Chicago Blackhawks. Like this guy is a real thing, and they have another star that they can build around here.
Absolutely. I mean, missing, 6 weeks with a fractured jaw and just knowing that you weren't going to have the one sort of bright light of the franchise.
Top
in
one
your
for the season
for
ticket holders for those 6 weeks. Oh. So like, what am I going to watch? A lot of Mackenzie Entwistle.
But you see, just even last night, you see, you know, what a lightning rod that he is. And it's for the league, yes, but it's also good for the league, for Chicago to have something to be excited about. And their future is so bright with that kid. He's so good already. And there's a maturity to him off the ice as well. And granted, I've obviously been spending a ton of time around him, but it just in the interactions that I have had, he is very poised. He seems, you know, to understand the position that he's in. And that's not always the case for some high draft picks. They really can be overwhelmed by their position. But I think we can tell by the way that Bedard, first of all, just basically said, I'm coming back and skating. I'm going to put this cage on and this is just how it's going to be. He's that competitor on the ice, but he also very much doesn't let what the pressure of, you know, being in Chicago and being that, you know, quote unquote, next one there, interfere with what he's able to produce. And that's, I think, where the Blackhawks have really lucked out, because you don't know. You can do all the interviews, you can do all the character tests, but until you actually see these young players under the spotlight, you just don't know how they're going to react. And if they can maintain what made them special, and most do, fortunately, most are, you know, they have good people around them supporting them. And obviously I think Bedard has that. But just from an on-ice perspective, my goodness, what the talent that he has already as a teenager. If this is the beginning, what is his ceiling? I can't even fathom it.
He just had to throw in the bubble and he went back to the world junior mode.
Superhero.
He was just, it's a good look. I'm putting it on and I'm going to skate. Nobody touch me, but don't get in the way.
Very comfortable. What's funny, you know, is you say, what could he be? And it's looking around the league right now and you look at where Sidney Crosby is. Like, I know that's a ridiculous sort of ceiling, but, you know, you feel like they're just at the other end of the spectrum. And so I do want to ask about Sid and the Penguins and watching an aging superstar who's not playing like an aging superstar. He's playing like a superstar. But, you know, what's going to become of Sid, of the Penguins? There's a lot of expectations and superstars and tire fire happening there. What's to come with the Penguins?
Oh, man, you know, I was just thinking about this earlier today, and I thought, you know, it was a great thing, I think, for Alex Ovechkin to have the milestones he was chasing late into his career, because Washington obviously has taken a bit of a turn in the last few years, and they haven't been a playoff contender. They haven't been in that position. But for Ovechkin, for the star, he has had the watch, right? Like, we've all been talking about him, and it gives some juice to a guy that maybe you can't hand him playoffs every year, but at least he has that. That's not where Crosby is. Crosby is the team guy. He wants that success. Not to say that Ovechkin doesn't want that same success, but I think he understood, okay, we're going in a different direction now, so this is kind of going to be my narrative from here. But Crosby is in the middle of having to answer for the fact that Pittsburgh, the wheels are kind of falling off, and they weren't supposed to at this stage. There were supposed to be a few more good years. It's why Kyle Dubas got the players that he did, that he went and got Riley Smith, that he went and got Erik Karlsson, that, you know, he's kept the core, I shouldn't say him specifically, but the core has been kept intact there, because there were supposed to be good years left for Crosby and for Malkin and for Letang. And really, since the bubble, it's just felt like it's not there. And so they've made the sweeping changes. They gave Kyle Dubas this incredibly rich deal to run the team. They've tried, but it's just, they're not fast enough to keep up with. Yeah. And that's in both places, almost. It's like you added veterans, and it's not where the league is at. The league is changing. It's adapting. And I think Crosby is adapting with it to a certain degree, but the players around him, you can be physical and you can be tough to play against, but you've got to be quick, and you've got to get those plays in transition and those plays off the rush. They have to be there. And if they can't be, then everything else has to be so tight and so dialed in. Your goaltending has to be so incredible. Like, watching Tristan Jarry last night, for example, you know, I know the one goal was called back, but still it's just, you've got to be so perfect in every other way. And that's not where the Penguins are at. So where they go from here, I don't know. But you wish that there was a bit more of that milestone watch almost for Crosby, so that there was something for him that you were talking about on a nightly basis. And it wasn't that, wow, it's really might be over for the Penguins, because we don't know if it is, but it might be.
To me, the great lost milestone for Sid is 2,000 points. Because you look at the prime of his career – not the prime, but like in the middle from 2010 in three seasons after that, he played in 2010, he played 41, then 22, then 36 games.
Crazy.
Right? So if he had played, you know, let's say give him 78, 79 games throughout those seasons, that's probably an extra, give him 100 points, maybe 150 points there. And then it's closer to 1,700 points, and he's still at a spot where it's like, you know, you could, that's
milestone
a bit of a chase.
Chasing,
But to me, at this point, it's he's 1,566. He's won three cups. He's got two gold medals.
Just going to ask for a trade to Colorado now. Yeah, that's all it's left.
There's only one thing left, really, and it's to play for another team and to chase a cup as, like, a second fiddle. And I want it to happen, but I really don't see it.
I don't see it either.
No.
I can't see it, because it's just, there's too much history there, I think, for him, that I think it's one of those where if this is the end, I don't know that I wonder if you wouldn't rather because you've won it all, there's nothing left to win particularly. It's just
more in the last days.
It's just in the last days of your career. Do you want to, you know, Patrick Kane obviously is an example that we can use recently, going to different teams, and you know, how much of that would Crosby replicate? I don't know. I think that there's such a bond there between city and player that's where he wants to be. And if it ends up that the last couple of years are bringing in the next wave, I don't know. You almost don't want to speculate, because whatever you say, you could be totally, you know, they could pick it up next year and you got egg on your face. So you never want to count out Sidney Crosby.
Be fun in Canada.
In any way.
It would be fun in Canada.
ESPN's hoping not.
Yeah. We are, but yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it's, it's just one of those things where I think everyone is waiting to see how this offseason goes, because it will be a very big one for the Penguins and what their next direction is going to be.
For sure. Last one, we'll let you go. Just want to get your thoughts on a West winner, because we all talked about Florida and the Rangers. Do you have one out there that you see as a runaway fave?
Oh, man. The West is, it's always so tough. Like, the Central, to me, is always stacked. And then it's never the team coming out of the Central. And then you look at the Pacific and you're thinking, okay, is Vegas going to step it up now that they've made their acquisitions?
Boy, people be mad. Oh, boy.
Like, are the Oilers, are they for real, real? Like, are they really going to run it back and be able to, you know, make a Western Conference final appearance? What about LA, where the, you know, it was great and the wheels were off there too. And now they're making a bit of a, they did nothing at the deadline. That's what's curious to me, is I'm like, what do they know that we don't? First of all,
they're not great.
other than not getting Linus Ullmark, allegedly.
Right.
But, you know, so to me, I don't know if I see a clear, and of course, Colorado. Don't let me not mention Colorado. That's important. But, you know, I think for me, it all hinges on the first round. Dallas, you know, like you say, they added Tanev, but if he's not great, I don't know about Dallas. They're a wild card to me. So I like some of those teams, but for me, we're going to learn a lot about the West in the first round, probably more than we will about the East. I think there's some established contenders there, but the West, the first round is going
to
be big.
Yeah, a lot to figure out. We appreciate all your insights and opinions and everything. It's Kristen Shilton of ESPN. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course. All right, Kristen was up here for a couple of years covering the Toronto Maple Leafs and the rest, and made a good decision to get away from the toxicity.
She was in the meat grinder for a few seasons,
for sure.
It's just, if the playoffs start today, one of Winnipeg, Colorado going home, one of Edmonton and Los Angeles going home, one of Dallas, Vegas going home, one of Nashville, Vancouver going home.
But, I mean, in three of those series, it's like you're going to have a team who went all in and had real cup hopes going home frustrated, and people will probably lose jobs over that.
I saw a tweet. Was it John Shannon that put it out there about what it would be if the matchups were...
1v8?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, here it is.
I love 1v8 stuff.
So I'll bring it to you. So in the East, it would be Florida, New York Islanders, Boston, Tampa Bay. Ooh, baby.
Yeah.
New York, Philly. Carolina, Toronto.
Toronto gets mopped in that.
I don't know. I much prefer that to Boston or Florida.
Would you?
And in the West, Vegas, Vancouver, Dallas, Los Angeles, Winnipeg, Nashville, Colorado, Edmonton.
Vegas, Vancouver?
Yeah.
I guess Vegas got to, they're going to climb up.
Yeah, they
got
to get going. But to me, that just seems a little more normal.
Well, 1v8 at least allows for these races, like there's such incentive to climb from seventh to sixth or, you know, whatever it is, to move within that tiering. So, yeah, I hope eventually we do get back there. Do you want to do Game Time after the break?
Sure, we'll do Game Time after the break. Perfect.
Okay, when we come back, we'll do a little bit of Game Time and talk about some news and notes around the league.
I want to talk about the Sabres,
And a little Bo and Byram action.
Yeah, I have some thoughts on them.
I know, me too. Okay, we will get into that after the break. You're listening to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Real Kipper and Bourne. Kipna with us. Mm-hmm. Just Sammy and I today talking about all things NHL, and it is time.
You think Kip's booked his flight yet?
You know what? I'm not even sure. He had a trip planned for this weekend. He was like, yeah, I don't know. I'll figure it out. I'll check the Air Canada website soon.
You know, March break, one day before, it will be an expensive ticket.
I hope it's
March break, though. It's quiet on the roads.
Yeah.
Like, it's like noticeably quiet subway roads. It's nice.
Delightful.
All right. It's Game Time presented by Bet365.
It's Game Time.
It's Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app, the latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, I was flipping around during the break at some of the fun future stuff on Bet365, and I said there was one that said player regular season goals.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I wonder what's going to pop up. And the only option on there right now is Austin Matthews, and there's two different numbers that you can bet on.
Okay.
The first number is 64.5, And the over on that is minus 250.
Okay.
And what's he at now? 54, right?
54.
So that's 10 more goals in how many games?
18 games.
Okay. So that's below his, you know, he scores every night, apparently. Yeah. So, and over under that is plus 200. And the other total is 69.5.
Yeah.
Plus 350 over, minus 500 on the under. So they really don't think he's getting to 70.
No.
This week
I gotta,
hurt him.
I got to be honest. I don't either.
And I don't think that's the worst thing.
No.
That we're having this big conversation about him chasing and like him staying in games maybe when he should be taking a rest. So I found that very interesting that they put that up there because I think 64.5 is an excellent number.
It is. What's interesting about that one to me is Connor McDavid, I believe, had 64 last year. Is that right?
I'm looking it up right now.
And so
I was near there.
Yeah. Like what was fascinating was, you know, McDavid is the best player in the league.
Mm-hmm.
The year before, Matthews wins the Hart Trophy, scores all the goals, and Draisaitl basically says to McDavid, like, you should just score all the goals.
Yeah.
He's like, okay. Went and scored.
64 goals, 89 assists, 153. He has 953 points in 630
I know,
games.
It's a joke. But so he blows by Matthews. Matthews hits 60, wins Hart. He goes and gets a 64 and says, see, I can't do it. This year, you know what McDavid has? He's got 24, I think.
He's got 24 goals and 79 assists already.
Because he's done. He showed you if he wanted to be the goal guy, he could be the goal guy. That's not rude. It is. So now it's like, okay, if Matthews is going to make a career being the goal guy, you better get more than McDavid did.
So there's so moving past. So you think where would your number, your money lie on that?
I think 67 is a reasonable pick.
So you'd go over 64.5.
I would.
Okay. I would. Maybe sprinkle a little bit on the under that.
The problem under 64.5.
Yeah.
The problem is if he gets to 67, the Leafs got this playoff push. You know, or do they start going, oh, we got to play him a lot, see if he can get to 70, it becomes a thing.
So this is a fun one. The country of the Stanley Cup winner. The USA is minus 330. You got a lot of teams to go from there. Canada is plus 240.
So we're going to have four teams.
So it's the Oilers, who are very good.
Very good.
Vancouver, who is very good. The Jets, who are very good.
Very good.
The Leafs.
In the playoffs.
Yeah, they're there.
Yeah.
And that's it, right? We're not forgetting anybody? Yeah, the Habs stink, Flames stink, Sens stink.
Yeah.
So it's those four teams. It's not the worst number.
Well, you know what? It's not the worst number because you might be getting two number one seeds. Vancouver and Winnipeg may win their divisions.
And they're not going to
win their divisions.
And they're not going to be playing each other in the first round.
Right.
So you might be able to get past.
And Leafs on the other side. Like, yeah. So, what is the Canadian number to win the
Cup? Plus 240.
And now the Canadian teams, they win a lot of cups, right?
They've won a lot in the last little while?
30 years, man. 30 years.
That's a really long time.
Devastating. Seven teams, 30 years?
They should change that. But I'm sorry, Canada. I don't want it anywhere else than down Yonge Street. So it's a very tough thing for me.
I would like people to text us at 590-590. If you're a fan of a Canadian team, do you just want the cup back in Canada? Or does it have to be your city?
Mm.
Because I would love to see Winnipeg win it. I would love to see Vancouver win it. Obviously, I'm in Toronto. It helps our show. That would be great.
I would like that.
I have some Oilers resentment from my dad's era. Like, I grew up being like, you know, they ended my dad's team streak.
100%.
You know, like, it was a whole thing that there was that big rivalry. So I was raised to be like, no Oilers, no Rangers.
Mm.
I would have maybe a bit of a hard time. I do think I have bet the Oilers with my real money as the only Canadian team I have money on to get to the Cup final.
Okay.
So I believe in them as a team, but I don't know if I want to see it.
So four games on tap tonight. Some decent ones here, actually. Kings and Blues, you know, that's a decent bit of a stretch for that one. Nashville, all of a sudden, who is extremely watchable, and they're playing the Winnipeg Jets tonight in Winnipeg. They are a plus 130 underdog. Winnipeg is minus 155. I have a tough time with that one. I don't really know how to lean on that side.
I am ecstatic. You called them extremely watchable. I am on the game tonight.
Nice.
For Wednesday night hockey, Winnipeg Jets, Nashville Predators coming up.
Hard.
Yeah, I'll do my best because they don't make me do a ton this summer. Anyway,
I'm looking forward to watching that. But I would say the creme de la creme is the Colorado Avalanche visiting Vancouver.
Yeah.
And to me, this is a surprising number. You can get plus money on Colorado in Vancouver. They're starting Casey DeSmith tonight. Maybe they rally around that. I think, is Colorado in the second half of back-to-back? Did they play last night? No, maybe not. But anyways, to me, that's a surprising number. I always like value on Nathan MacKinnon, that team. And Vancouver minus 120, Casey DeSmith, don't love that. But, you know, they're pretty good in that building. So,
yeah,
they could be fine. That was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
The Nashville Predators are a very like, if we, you and I sat down, eyes just a blank piece of paper, and said, write out their roster.
I'm getting a few.
Might get halfway there. Like, it's a lot of Evangelista and Cole Smith, Michael McCarron, Kiefer Sherwood. There's a lot of names. You're like, he's in the league. Spencer Stastny.
I have to say that if what Brunette did, right? Brunette? Yes. Yeah. What he did, if he was in a Canadian market where...
Jack Adams talk.
But where he cancels the boys' trip to the Sphere to see you two. And they're all so fired up. Doesn't just cancel for the guys on the team. Front office people. People who work in the... like, everywhere. Done. We suck. We don't have any accountability. Done.
Doug, who's been washing socks all year just for a breath of sunlight. Like, he's a YouTube tattoo.
Sorry, Doug. With or without you. Just can't wait.
Just once in my life before I die. Not today, Doug.
Canceled. And they go out, and they have been smoking hot ever since.
Yeah.
And, like, if you're a player, like, yeah, we're hot, but God, that, I don't want him to look so right. Like, that's a really incredibly gutsy move by him. It's just...
I don't think it's that gutsy.
In this day and age, Borny, it is. In 2005 or 2002, that doesn't even make the news.
It's a multi-billion dollar industry. You're not performing.
I understand that. But for it to become a story where he canceled this thing that everybody was excited about, and like, we're going to the Sphere. I went to the Sphere when I was in Vegas. Marginal. I didn't see you two.
The Sphere was marginal.
It was very cool experience.
Yeah.
But like, we went and saw like a postcard from Earth. So you're doing like all like, but it was very like, it had a message where it's like, the Earth is screwed and you guys are all screwing it. And it's like, I had a couple high noons. I'm like, this is what I expected. Like, this isn't what I signed up for.
They built this multi-billion dollar thing and you're like, entertain me.
Yeah. But then they had cool robots. Yeah. Like, it's a very cool experience, I can imagine. But for him to cancel that, I think in this day and age, it's gutsy. And for them to get red hot after and them to not solidify a playoff spot, but they're pretty close to slip. Like, they're 7 points up on Minnesota with a couple games in hand. I give the former Own Sound Plater all-time season, single-season holding record for points.
Really?
Andrew Brunette, a ton of credit.
865
points.
I think that there is a real appetite in the NHL from owners for coaches who will make hard decisions now. Mm-hmm. And say what you will about Tortorella, the Flyers are going, you know, they're going to be in playoffs this year when I don't think anyone thought they were. You talk about Tocchet and the success that he's had.
100%.
You know, these sort of taskmasters in an age where everyone gets a, you know, a talking to and a soft voice and whatever. There is really something to be said for these guys who handle things a little bit more honestly and aggressively.
The thing is, it's like there's always zags in every sport, right? Like the running back thing. Where you don't want to pay.
They're all the same.
You don't want to pay running back, but then all of a sudden this offseason, I'm seeing like every running back's getting paid. So maybe it's zagging back the other way. You know, you can win the popular take after the Penguins won the cup where it's like, you can just
don't need D.
Ben Lovejoy and Letang and you can win the cup.
Yeah.
And, you know, baseball where it's like, I don't even know what baseball is, the zag or whatever. But what I'm saying is going to the guy who's a bit of a meanie.
Yeah.
Has kind of come back in here where you see Laviolette having so much success with the Rangers. Like you said, Torts, Tocchet, who I don't think is full meanie, but like...
But he's honest.
He's honest.
And actually, look at what's happening with Winnipeg, where Rick Bonus came out and said, that was the worst the guys have ever played, and this is part of what I'm going to do tonight for this Nashville-Winnipeg broadcast, is they had their worst game of the year one night, got a mean talking to, and best they had game. Their best game of the 100%. Year the next night. And, you know, I played for a junior coach, and this is in my book a little bit more in depth, but like, you know, throwing sticks and breaking stuff and chaos, and it's not fun.
What's the name of that book, by the way?
That's Down and Back.
And where can you purchase that?
Yeah, anywhere you get your books, man. Good. Amazon, Indigo, go nuts. But, you know, there was something to be said for the idea that there will be actions behind the words, and Sheldon Keefe has done that more this year, tried to be that accountability guy. Yeah. And I think it's reasonable to say that not everyone needs a hug all the time.
And Bonus seems like, by all accounts, to be one of the most loved guys in the league.
Yeah,
like
he'll give you hugs.
Every single guy that comes around is like, So I think when you have that reputation, but every so often, you just get in front of the microphones and be like, these guys rot.
Yeah.
That holds way
after
more.
After the last season for 100%. Bonus, too.
And I think even Torts, who used to just be full meanie, I keep wanting to say these words I'm not allowed to say.
I know.
We suck.
he walks it better now.
Yeah.
Where he does say nice stuff.
Well, you know what though? Daryl Sutter didn't change.
Perfect example.
You know,
he didn't have, like the Peltier thing.
Yeah.
Like, what number was he?
Yeah, the kid makes his NHL debut and it's like, you gotta have some.
Yeah. And now he's back on the ranch.
You know,
a waste of 8 days.
That is an all-time line in NHL history. So one thing we wanted to chat about, Buffalo Sabres. So last night you and I, we did Game Time. You talked about Detroit. It was plus odds. I also had my own money on them at plus odds. You know, they need this. They've lost six in a row. They're in Buffalo playoff race.
Turns out
Buffalo starched them.
Maybe it makes sense why they're plus money now that I look at it. But I had a couple takeaways in that game. Which is crazy to have takeaways from a
Buffalo-Detroit game in March.
I'm going to say this one quiet. There's a chance that that Bo Byram-Casey Mittelstadt trade is bad for Colorado.
Real bad.
Casey Mittelstadt.
I know we're a couple games in here, but.
Casey Mittelstadt was the Sabres' leading scorer, which at this, the way they're having a season and the way they look, I mean, that's not necessarily every
45 points
every
or something.
Every team score. Every team is a guy that scores regardless of how good
someone
or bad
they are. Someone has to lead bad teams in scoring.
And I think he filled a need for the Avalanche, and they clearly like him, and having a second-line guy, second-line center, kind of slot in, because we had conversations about Colorado and how thin they kind of seemed underneath the big boys. But I don't know if he should have done it at the cost of Bo Byram.
Yeah.
Because I remember him in that, who did they beat in the final? The Lightning, right? They beat the Lightning in the final. And he, I remember, I was like, this guy
dancing
is a Team Canada lock type of guy. Where
that high?
Oh, I was. I mean, he has the pedigree. He played for Team Canada, the World Juniors. Like, he's that type of guy. Where I was like, not for the next team.
Yeah, yeah.
But for a guy that in the future could be on that team, and then he had the concussion issues, and he went away, and you kind of
just 22.
You stopped hearing about him.
Yep.
I was watching that game last night. I know he had two talks, but outside of that, he is up and down the ice, man. You can't.
Three games of the Sabres, 3 goals, 1 assist, 4 points.
You cannot
plus four
that.
Yeah.
Ability to get up and down the ice, buddy. He flies.
Like, we talk about how hard it is to get a top 4D. You're at the deadline and teams are falling all over themselves to try to get Chris Tanev. We believe here in Toronto that they have offered a first for Tanev. Like, what people would do for a top 4D is a lot. This guy has a chance to be a top pair D.
Yeah.
A guy who scores 50 points, you know, like more than that, potentially. I know that's a high ceiling for a guy, but he's had 25 and 42 games one season. It is a legitimate bet, as I've seen an NHL team make, that a guy can't stay healthy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I believe that Colorado had full belief in the player. They said, we just don't believe he's going to play enough games to matter for you.
That's fair. And, you know, the other pushback on that, too, is that Darlene's a lefty. Owen Power's a lefty, right? So it's like, I'm going to need Kipper in here for his lefty-righty stuff, but I'm pretty sure Power's a lefty too, and I'm just quickly looking it up. He's a lefty as well. Yeah. Byram's a lefty. It's like, you want your three best defensemen to be lefties, but to me, you're just betting on the talent.
Well, what's crazy, that's a good point, but hold on, like, because this is, the Senators are in this very pickle, where it's Chychrun, Shabbat, and Sanderson. Mm-hmm. And we've heard Chychrun's name come up because someone's got to go. You can't. And what's even crazier about this is Byram wanted out of Colorado expressly, expressly behind scenes anyway, because he wanted out from behind Cale Makar.
Yeah.
He wanted the chance to be a guy. And you go to a team with two other lefties, who are top guys. I wonder if eventually they have to do something.
But if you're Buffalo, who, I mean, okay. Promise me this. I'll write this down, whatever day is, March 13. We're not having any Buffalo Sabres good playoff conversations before the season starts next year.
No.
I will not have that conversation or about the Sens either. Until...
No.
Until they are, like, close to the playoffs and competing near January, February, no conversations. If you're that kind of team to me, you're just bring guys in.
Yeah.
Like, you're trying to taking shots here. Like, getting a guy like Bo Byram in, I loved him in the World Juniors. I followed him through there, came to Colorado. I'm like, they got him, and you see what he does in the, and then he kind of goes away or whatever. But to me, Kevin Adams, that could be one of those trades we look back on where it's like E-Rat for Philip Forsberg type of trade.
By the way, great reference. Thank you. God, Forsberg's just been in Nashville forever, having this great career.
Best duster in the league, too.
So last night you did one of your breakdown videos on the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, this is the other side of it.
Being soft.
That was embarrassing.
The Buffalo Sabres need a change, like no NHL team. The Islanders needed a change really bad.
Yeah.
They need a change in Buffalo. Like the culture of that team, they're light, they're passive, mm-hmm. they're permissive. There's too much talent to play like that.
So I had it on, and it, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen,
nice.
Right? Thank you.
Well done.
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, I like saying that. I won't say it one more
Sounds
time.
Sounds Hawaiian.
But he got run earlier in that game. And I was like, oh, and they didn't really do much to respond. I was like, oh, that wasn't pretty.
Yeah.
And then I kind of looked up again, and it happened again. I was like, oh, I've got to get that. I'm like, honey, I'm doing a video.
Quiet.
And I was just disgusted. I don't know who it was in Detroit, but he's going hard to the net,
yeah.
makes zero attempt to get out of the way.
Just plow.
Like, plows him. And no, they don't even go over to him. One guy just skates right by him. He's lying on the ice. You're up 7-2. It's the perfect time for chaos.
And also, this season's a bust anyway. Yeah, like, if you finish last, it's better.
Absolutely.
Go ahead and do what you got to do to say we're not okay with that.
I said in my video, if
that was the Leafs, this would be a natural referendum
on
how soft they are.
There you go. That's what I said.
Response from the Sabres, especially up 7-2. Come on, guys.
Yeah, come on.
How impressive, Brando. Nice pull.
But not even the Leafs. Any Canadian team.
Yeah.
If that was the Canucks... and that happened, 650, my boy Riccio out there would be like, what's going on with this team?
They're
soft. It's just...
we'd have Sean Reynolds on the case in Winnipeg.
My God.
It doesn't matter where you're at.
It's a it's a huge conversation, and I'm sure they're maybe having it. They won 7-2, so it's... but, like, imagine Buffalo Kipper being like, I don't care about the win. It's about the response.
Peters and Reve there.
Yeah,
you know someone's saying that.
I hated that from them, but, like... I hate it and love it. Love them getting Byram because, boy, can he play, and I think that's a good bet, and hated that response after he got
Byram, Dahlin, Power, Thompson, Cousins, you know, Krebs, Paterka, Benson, Tuck. Like,
boy,
they have
Paterka
pieces
shot
to turn it
bar.
Around.
He shot one under the bar nice, too, last night.
They can turn it around, Steve. Couple things to get to before the end. One of them is the Siegenthaler from the Devils. Going to miss extended period of time. Rempe already got the suspension.
Yeah, I know. So. I've been thinking a lot about the Rempe thing. Because I love Rempe and I want...
Rempe mania.
I want him to be around.
Empire State Building.
Everything. The Rempage. I love it all and I love what he represents. But that was... I've watched the highlights again. It's bad showing, bud.
Crazy, man.
It's just... and I get not fighting McDermott early in the game, but you probably should have fought him then too. Because you did something... it's hockey. You did something into a rival.
Yeah.
Should have fought him early. I get maybe being like, hey, we don't want to do it at this point. Probably should have done it. But then to do that, chicken wing them, and then be skating,
to me,
waving.
It's the wave. If you don't want to fight, fine.
The wave is
to be like,
I'm happy that I hit this guy in the head and he's hurt and I get kicked out of the game.
I'm not fighting you, Nana.
That should be hanging your head going off the ice.
He's created more problems for himself now.
Absolutely.
The Calgary Flames have turned the corner. We thought they were going to turn. They traded a bunch of assets. All of a sudden, the team is just, it ain't pretty, Sammy.
I'm a fan first, and I've actually really liked watching the Flames a lot of this year.
Scrappy,
good players. Like
their young guys a lot.
And a lot of it has to do with their jerseys, if I'm being fully honest.
Beautiful.
They just fit my eye. Love watching them play. Like, I was watching them play Pittsburgh and the Pittsburgh's whites. I was like, oh, this is the nicest jersey match we could possibly have.
Beauty.
But, like, they were in it. They had won that the four in a row. Remember, they had beat all those good teams. And we were like, oh, this, maybe they're going to have a chase. And I'm not getting after Conroy because he made the right decision. They had to trade all these guys. They had to sell off. But it sucks as a fan because you're like, oh, we're scrappy. We're fun. We're in it. Maybe we won't sell. And like, we sell, and now we just reek.
It's like,
and
now Dryden Hunt's on the second line.
Now we ain't winning anything, and we're going to suck. We suck. It's going to be 18 games of we suck.
But you know what they have? The bright spots are Pelche is going to get run with real players.
Yeah.
Coronado's going to,
And that's how you sell yourself on it, that you have fun young guys that get to play.
Miramanov's in the lineup. You're right. It's, take a look from there. So.
I feel for my Calgary brethren.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you. See, day number one, sans Kip. What a breeze. Nice to have you in that seat for a day. Tomorrow, we will be back. You'll be in the seat for both hours.
Yes.
I believe, do we have Petrilli for sure tomorrow?
To
All right, we'll ask him after the show. Sorry, Anthony, that we didn't ask you first. but yeah, we'll get into it a little bit there. And tonight, it's Winnipeg and Nashville. I'll be on that game, so tune in. Thank you to Kristen Shilton. Very much appreciate her time. And to J.D. Bunkus for joining us in studio. This has been Real Kipper and Bourne. We will see you tomorrow.